Thanks for the invitation. I'm very glad to be here to be able to give a talk. I'm going to talk about effective field theory dual description of the open FRW universe that results from a Kolmogorov-Deutsch decay of the De Sitter space that Bart just described. This is work in progress with Bart, Eva, who are here, and also Xunji and Gonzalo. So a natural question from Bart's talk is that what happens to the metastable De Sitter space when it decays, and is there some effective field theory dual of that open FRW universe? And if there is, is there anything we can say about, for example, a number of degrees of freedom, or is there any relation between correlation functions and bulk and the boundary? So this is I will talk about these issues in the case of the FRW universe that arise, where I will write down the metric in the d-dimensional Einstein frame. With a very simple scale factor, Ct, where in general this C, if I work in general dimensions, is given as a very simple function of what dimensions I'm in. This is always greater than 1. And this has specific values for example, 5D, which we're especially interested in, also 3D. So as Eva was saying in her talk, this comes from, for example, if we have a sufficient number of PQ7 brains wrapping some positively curved base, like CP1 and CP2, and if we over-cancel the curvature, then this is the generic solution we get from that brain construction. So, for example, this also can, another way of getting this is to study the result of a Kolmogorov-Deutsch decay of the potential where you get a metastable the set of minimum decaying to an open FRW. So if we want to propose effective field theory dual to this FRW universe, it's nice if we can write down the same metric in terms of a warped, in a warped form. And here it is. I will write down probably the Korian transformation when we actually go and calculate correlation functions. But now it's just it's interesting to note that the warp factor goes to maximum at W equals 0 and goes to 0 at W equals eta. So this is the UV, which is W equals 0, and IR, which is W equals eta. And this is a monotonically decreasing warp factor. And we want to see whether this redshift is evidence of effective field theory dual to this open FRW space. So I will first talk about the things we'd like to understand about the effective field theory. As we know, just like in Randall-Sundrum, the effective field theory is coupled to gravity. So there is a scale, the d-1 dimensional Planck scale, that we want to understand. there's also the number of degrees of freedom for the field theory that we also like to understand. And we also know as an effective field theory, it naturally comes with a cutoff. So there's a cutoff. And these are the quantities we would like to understand about the field theory. They are generically all time dependent in this FRW universe. So as a first step, maybe we can understand their time dependence better. So I will first talk about the, I will first talk about just the M Planck, and then I will study the correlation function a little bit, just in the usual sense that we use the correlation function to investigate ADS-CFT, and then if we have time, I'll say more about the number of degrees of freedom and the cutoff. Where is large T? This question is good. Maybe for now I'll just write down the UVM. I'll write down the Hoyerian transformation. Large T. No, large T is large eta with fixed W, if you like. And let's say the hyperbolic space is defined with a slicing of a lower dimensional hyperbolic space, then chi is 1/2 log of this. So let us just very briefly see what happens with M Planck. So this is easily calculated by doing an integral I realize I have to introduce this TUV. So this is the other we can always just use this warp metric, but we can also redefine what the time so that the warp factor at the UV slice is at the warp factor at UV slice is 1 instead of here it is some time dependent thing. So when we do that, we calculate this, and it becomes TUV. So this is a description of how fast the Planck mass grows as a function of time. Maybe for the time being, I'll just write down TUV as eta to the C. The d minus 1 dimensional Planck mass to the d minus 3 power, this is the 1 over Newton's constant in d minus 1 dimensions. It grows linearly with the time on the UV slice. It's easier, maybe easier if I just write down the metric also in this TUV for future reference. So in this TUV coordinate, it's just a change of variable from the previous warp metric. But it's here it's clear that on the UV slice, the metric on the UV slice is just an open FRW universe in 1 lower dimensions with the same scale factor C times T. Yes? This is again at a large time limit. So if it is comes from a common dilution decay at early times, C is effectively 1 for the smoothness of the instanton. You can generally solve this numerically, but we're going to focus on the late time behavior of all these things. We should understand this as a late time behavior of the d minus 1 dimensional Planck mass. The potential that we have in terms of canonically normalized field is rolling to infinity, and the scale you're talking about is basically the tunneling point that you saw from the Coleman dilution. So it depends on the potential. In general, the potential. Yeah. That's right. Yes? Yes. I'll come to that later when I talk about correlation functions. So this is a Planck mass, and we can ask, for example, as t goes to infinity, the Planck mass seems to go into infinity, which is possibly a sign that we are getting good quantum field theory at late times. We can understand this better if we, for example, as Eva was saying, we can understand this to calculate how much of a contribution to the Planck mass is given in the IR region versus in the UV region. And for example, we can choose to define the UV and IR. And then if we calculate the Planck mass from UV versus the Planck mass from the IR with the UV and IR separated by some predefined scale, epsilon, and if we do this calculation, it will be some constant, which is independent of time. Both of these grow, but they grow at the same rate. So this is saying that it is more likely in Randall syndrome, where the throat is getting longer. It is not like a Clavier compactification with a throat, where the compactification are getting larger. So after having said that, I'll now come to the correlation function. In ADN CFT, there is a nice way of motivating the dictionary and UVIR relation between the boundary and the bulk by calculating correlation function. There is a especially nice story talked about in a paper by Lenny and Witten in 1998 that, for example, if we calculate the two-point function in ADS, let's first do ADS. Z equals 0 is the boundary. And let's calculate two points at the same time, but separated by delta x at about near the boundary. Usually, a correlation function, a massive correlation function, will go like minus e to the minus ml, where l is the geodesic distance. So in ADS, there is a nice story that the geodesic the warping of ADS causes the geodesic distance to be a log in delta x. Epsilon here is the cutoff. Two points are sitting at z equals epsilon. So Therefore, the correlation function is turned to a power law instead of an exponential. This is why it's an indication that we have a CFT. So we want to see in what sense we can carry over the same analysis for the open FRW universe we have. So let's do it in this coordinate. We can investigate. So let's say this is my UV slice. We have some warping in this FRW universe. Let's consider a massive propagator with 2 points on the boundary at W equals zero and separate it by some distance in the D minus two dimensional hyperbolic space. So this is the D minus two hyperbolic space direction. They are separated let me just write down what I'm calculating. This is an equal time correlation function at the UV slice. Yes. That's what I'm going to say. Geometrically, this can be reduced to, again, geodesic distance. And what is the bound? But whenever I say boundary, what I really mean is the UV slice of this warped compactification. Chi equals zero is I. Sitting in the center. We. This is an equal time of correlation function. We choose to slice. We can slice the hyperbolic space d minus one dimensional hyperbolic space by d minus two hyperbolic space, and there is a central slice there. Yes. Yeah, it's finite UV. This is like in Randall syndrome with a cutoff. We can be at the, we don't have to, there, it's at finite distance away. Right. Thanks. So we can just calculate this for a massive mode. The thing we have to bear in mind is usually since we have time dependent FRW, we expect the mass to be generically a function of t. This is manifest, for example, if we compute a KK mode, it goes like what? NKK over t. If I have other modes, like the string modes, they go like 1 over t to some power. The power is 4/7 in 5 dimensions. In general, we can write it down, but it doesn't give more information than I need. And if we consider the 7/7 string, it goes like 1 over t to the 1/7. So we would like to understand the correlation functions for, as a first step for these modes. Next. So we can just do the usual calculation, the same in the same spirit as the geodesic distance, taking into account of the time-dependent mass, and we can get the answer. Let's do it for the KK mode first. Since I only have 10 minutes or 9 minutes left, I will just write down the answer. The answer is, in terms of delta chi, which is a separation of these two points, is e to the minus c times nkk delta chi tilde. I use tilde, chi tilde as the coordinates in the d minus one dimensional hyperbolic space. So this seems exponential, but we have to really understand what this is saying. Remember that we want to interpret, remember that our effective field theory is supposed to live on an open FRW space. Let's for now let's ignore this C first. This is just flat space. We know our correlation function in flat space. If we had a CFT, then the correlation function is a power law in terms of separation. But in terms of this coordinate, would be an exponential of the coordinate separation. So let's see. For CFT, we would expect the correlation function to go like 1 over delta x to some power. But if we were to change into these coordinates, it actually goes like e to the minus the exponential. This is just because the way the coordinate transformation works. Another way we can think about this is we always can choose to write the correlation function as the geodesic distance of these two points on the boundary. On the boundary means on the UV slice. It is a geodesic distance only in the d minus two dimensions. And now if we include time, the geodesic distance in this space. No, there's curvature. So okay. Let me just write down what I was saying. In ADS-CFT using mu coordinates. This is what I'm trying to say. Let me write down what delta x, what I want delta x to be. Delta x is the geodesic distance between the two points on the d minus one dimensional geometry. The d minus one dimensional geometry is defined through this in our FRW, or in for example, we can define it in ADS-CFT. This is related to delta chi tilde with an exponential. It is related to the distance in the hyperbolic space. This is the relation. The relation, we have the factors. This is it. And at large separation, this is exponential. That's exactly why the power law looks like an exponential in delta chi tilde. So that means that we should really be writing down this correlation function in terms of this delta x. And if we write it down in terms of delta x, it goes like 1 over delta x to the 2 nkk. MKK is the level of the corrosive client mode, of course. So this is suggestive or reminiscent of a conformal field theory correlation function defined on the boundary. Boundary means this. But we don't necessarily expect our effective field theory to be necessarily conformal. There are other modes besides the KK modes in the effective field theory, and which actually I'm going to come to. If we were to calculate the same thing for other massive modes, like the string modes and the 7-7 strings stretched between the 7-7 brains, then the result we get is no longer a power law in terms of delta x. We can do it in general with the m of t, which goes like 1 over t to the alpha. This is the bulk correlation function. And it is a power law in terms of delta x, which I defined to be here. The correlation, it depends on what coordinate you're working, of course. In terms of it is exponential. It has to be exponential. It's a massive correlation function. No, in the ADS space, no. Delta X is a.
So if I consider these two bulk points, can you draw how the bulk of the ESX goes off of this?
It goes off, yeah. In fact, it does that in ADS too. And in fact, one can work out the geodesic equation.
I understand that what it does in ADS. I was confused because I thought that you're working at W equals 0.
We could be working with general W. If we stop working at W equals 0, we will get something which depends on some function with W here. But we're not actually changing the power. Thanks. How much time do I have? Okay. So I'm just going to say the result. In this case, it goes like an exponential of delta x. So it's no longer a power law. In the limit that alpha goes to 1, it is a power law. This is a correlation function with a mass which is goes like 1 over t to the alpha. And I'm doing it in general. It can specialize to a string state or 7-7 strings. We can say what is the interpretation of this? Does that mean that these modes decouple from the field theory in some limit? That's an interesting question. But this is the correlation function in terms of the delta x, which I'm defining here. So in the remaining few minutes, let me talk briefly about the number of degrees of freedom and the cutoff that we can get for the conformal field theory. So, the effective field theory. So there's by the way, by n number of degrees of freedom, I mean number of degrees of freedom per lattice point in a effective field theory. This is similar to in Randall syndrome, we have equations relating these quantities. We have the entropy. It's actually the entropy bound. In Randall syndrome, this works with NDOF, goes like N squared, and the cutoff goes like RUV, the location of the UV brain. In our case, we would like to understand how these things change with time as a first step. So we already know that the d minus one dimensional Planck mass changes with time in a way. We already know that this goes like TUV. I will sometimes use TUV and T interchangeably at the UVs for the effective field theory because they are the same on the UV slice, but I try to be careful if I could. We want to understand how the number of degrees of freedom and cutoff varies with time. We can, for example, one way to do this is we can use Boussel's covariant entropy bound for our open FRW universe, we can calculate how much entropy we have within the apparent horizon. And this is a time-dependent quantity that goes that scale like TUV to the D minus 2. We can also work out the volume of the effective field theory, which also goes like to the minus 2, and then we solve these two equations for NDOF and lambda c. We got NDOF, which grows like t to the d minus 2, and a cutoff goes like 1 over t. So it's the energy cutoff. We could have performed a Weyl transformation, conformal transformation on a boundary and define a more static, define the boundary metric to be static, go to the conformal time. Yeah, and once we do that, this will be a constant. The number of degrees of freedom is the same. It's the same. Yeah, so it's interesting to understand how the number of degrees of freedom which grows with time is a bit unusual. But we are hoping to understand this currently in terms of stretched and winding strings in the bulk. But that is still calculation in progress. We haven't settled it down yet. And there's also, we can also get the same thing if we do a Casimir energy calculation. There is also a calculation we would like to do, which is we can heat the system up by inserting a black hole into this FRW space. In usual ADS-CFT, we can extract the number of degrees of freedom by looking at how energy and entropy scales with the temperature of the black hole. In this case, we can do this. There is a little bit subtlety in how we solve for the FRW Schwarzschild solution, and that is still calculation in progress. And I guess I also wanted to say we also could calculate whether a particle or brain probe stays in the IR if we put them in the IR. The result, as Eva was saying, is that particles tend to stay in the IR. The brains will be ejected from the IR. This is the motion sickness. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. That depends on the potential we get from the brain construction in Bart's talk. In this case, the parameters we have are the parameters in the brain construction like K, N1, N5. In the specific numerical example we have a N5, for example, of order 100, and the tunneling rate is exponentially small, so if that's what we want, that we can do that. Yeah, well, in the sense that it's an interesting question to ask whether we can make it arbitrarily small. I don't know, because the brain construction does not it's not really parametric in a sense that we don't. There is a subtlety regarding pushing N1 and N5 to infinity, so that's an issue maybe may come up when we try to suppress the decay rate to arbitrarily small value.
Yeah, something you hold with you.
Mm-hmm. It is a I think it's living on this D minus one dimensional open FRW universe. So it's a, yes.
And that's the surface chi equals 0 and
chi equals 0. Yes, chi equals 0 and also w equals 0, if you like. Oh, yes, per lattice point. I probably should have emphasized that better. The NDOF is per lattice point. It's n squared in ADS-CFT.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But it will not stay in W equals 0 in the W coordinate. If for the T direction.
And yeah, I understand what's going on with T and why it's high in this way. I understand it really in phi and delta S. So what I don't understand is that it seems to me that the G that we go from on the field theory is the same as the G that we go from the ball. Stays on that field theory by the G over.
But sure, that's
so
a distance. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't have time to. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. Especially if it's really a geodesic, then M has to be constant, and we don't get a power law. This is special for KK modes only. I should have emphasized that. Thank you, Eva. Thank you.
Thank you.